Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. During this broadcast, if you're listening live and you have any comments that you'd like to make, you're free to call in. And here's our call-in number, so get a pencil ready. It's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat it one more time, area code 646-716-4893. Or you can email me at bonk@aol.com. And for those of you who are listening, I think on the screen it does have the caller number that you can call in. So we always welcome your comments. I wanted to make a few announcements before I introduce my wonderful guest for tonight, Debbie Thomas Brown. And a few things I'd like to mention is that our healing weekend for Houston is only 3 weeks away. So I'm really excited about the upcoming, event that's going to be really a wonderful place for people to come and heal. And I think what makes the weekend so special is that women really do feel isolated when you're going through this. Excuse me, many of you are living in communities where there's really no face-to-face kinds of support groups. Sometimes you can't come online. Sometimes, you're unable to make our support chats, or sometimes you just need to sit with somebody face-to-face who can feel everything that you're feeling. And having that kind of support is really so important when you're going through gay husband recovery. So during our weekends, what we do is we have a whole group of women who come in from all over the country, and we sit and we bond together. We tell our stories. We see similarities. We realize that, we weren't stupid. We weren't, purposely walking into these situations. We feel very validated and very informational. You learn a lot from the other women who are there. And on the second day of the conference, we have some really exciting arts and crafts projects planned and healing projects, so that when you walk away, you walk away feeling really good from these weekends. So the cost of the weekend, it's free. You just have to pay for your hotel room and your airfare if you're coming in from out of town. But like I say, it's a wonderful deal, and it gives other women a chance to meet you, and you see the similarities. So I can't encourage you enough, if you're interested, to come to Houston. Otherwise, you'll have to wait till September when we do it again in Philadelphia. So if you are interested, please write to me at bonk@aol.com. Another announcement I would like to make is this. I am just so excited about the new group that just started for children of straight gay marriages. And this has been a dream of mine for the last few years. I started writing about it a few years ago, but just now it's coming, to fruition. And we had our first support chat meeting online. And it was just really, to me, I had tears in my eyes. I really did, because I felt so good that our children finally have a place to come, adult teenagers and young adults. And it was so amazing, even though they never met each other or knew who each other was, they immediately bonded, and their issues were also similar. And they felt so good at the end of this chat, and we're really trying to set up a support network. I mean, there is a support group for kids who have gay parents called Collage, but that primarily works with children who have two gay parents and they need support. And they have different issues than children who come from straight gay marriages, because a lot of these children grew up throughout their lifetimes in a very problematic marriage, never understanding why there were these problems. And then when they found out years later, it created a whole vast myriad of, problems and emotions, like trust issues. They didn't tell me that. What else aren't they telling me? And they have to deal with a lot of other issues about their own sexuality. How's this going to affect me? What are my friends going to say? How am I going to tell them? Will it affect my social life in the future? Will people want to go out with me because, my father is gay? I mean, things that we don't think about, and a lot of times these kids, no matter how much they love us, they don't want to have to talk to us about these issues because we're their mothers. You know, they feel that they can't get an objective point of view, and plus we're suffering ourselves, and they don't want to make it worse. So this will be a wonderful place for kids to come to, and if you have adult children who might be interested in this, you know, please let me know, and I will definitely send you information. And it's bonk@aol.com. And I will be talking about it in my upcoming newsletter that will be coming out a day after Valentine's Day. If you're not receiving my newsletters, just write to me at bonk@aol.com or go to my website at www.gayhusbands.com and request the newsletter that way. Also, I'm really over-thrilled. I've had so many wonderful responses from our listeners and my support group members for my upcoming collaboration book called Gay Husbands Say the Darndest Things. And I'm really excited about this book because of the fact that so many of you cannot get a confirmation from your husband that he's gay. You know, he'll tell you anything else and everything else. And there's nothing worse than living in a state of limbo with him, not knowing which way he's going to go. And we see so much of this each week in our chat room. And I know that so many of the letters that I receive from women every, you know, week really focus on that issue of not knowing whether their husbands are gay. So my hope is that by, you know, putting together this book with all of the lines that your gay husbands have told you, that other women will recognize they're hearing the same stories and that this is what the case is, and you have to learn to accept it, act on it, and move on so you can salvage whatever years left you have in your life. So I'm hoping that book will be out sometime by, you know, the end of the spring, and I'll keep you posted on that too. But if you'd like to participate in it, anyone who participates in it, you know, can be totally anonymous, but, you know, you will receive a free copy of the book when it comes out. So those are some of the announcements I wanted to make, and now without further ado, I'm going to introduce my very, very special guest, Debbie Thomas Brown. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Bonnie. Thank you for
inviting me. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you.
Debbie's a special guest because Debbie does special things. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that. Debbie is running South Florida Connects, which is a support group for women or men, you know, straight wives or straight husbands who have gay spouses. And Debbie primarily concentrates and focuses on the minority community, because they have extra barriers within that own, their own community that, you know, they face. And Debbie, if I remember correctly, it wasn't too long ago, I don't know how this still stands, that the largest number of cases of AIDS or HIV was coming from the minority community. Do you remember that?
That is correct. That is
now, I don't know if that's still the case, but I can't imagine it's changed very much in the last 2 years.
It's still the case.
And
Debbie, especially minority women.
Yeah, maybe you could talk a little bit about that and how you started your group.
Okay, I started South Florida Connects because I wanted to bring about awareness, because I found out that I was dating a man, almost married a man who was secretly gay. And I looked around me, and from conversations I was having with people around me, without letting them know what my situation was, I found out that I was not the only one who was having that problem. And in my Caribbean community, my immigrant community, my minority immigrant community, there were many women, especially in our local churches, who were having that problem, and they did not have a clue what was going on. But because I had identified my problem and I started doing the research, I found out that that was the same problem that some of them were having. So I wanted to find a way how I could educate them, to let them become aware of their circumstances and to learn how to handle it. So my daughter and I came up with our website at SouthFloridaConnects.com. And that's how I started. And from my research, where I reached out for help for myself, I found you. And you, I know I was doing something right, but I was not as organized as I am since I met you. And I learned from what you have been doing, because you have been doing this for so long, Bonnie. And I learned a lot from what you are doing, how you're doing it. So, because there was a point when I was kind of feeling burnt out because it was so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to you. I remember speaking to you, and I actually sent a couple emails to you for you to handle them for me so I could get some rest and not focus on that. And I watch what you do and how you do it, so I learn how to handle it. And that's why when I set up the hotline, I set it up so that I don't pick up the phone when it rings. Because I've been talking to you a couple of times, and it's ringing, and you say, the phone is ringing, and I say, Bonnie, I don't pick up the phone. I let them leave a message for me, and then I listen and screen and decide who I should call back and who I should leave alone. So that's what I have been doing. And my immigrant community is a rather homophobic community.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some information that they have that I want to to debunk. You know, there are some myths. There are some myths and there are some facts, and they are confused. They're mixed up, and some people don't know which one is the fact and which one is the myth. So my job as the straight spouse support person is to let them become aware of what is the truth and what is not a truth and what applies to them and what, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. And I found out that the most important thing is education, because people are afraid of what they do not understand. And that is why some women would never, ever talk about their situation, because people don't understand, and they will look at them a different way from which they are, so they won't talk. So with my education awareness that I do on our local radio station, people become more aware of the situation and things that they were seeing that they didn't think mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now they know why their lives are so messed up and their marriages are so dysfunctional, and they're doing their own research. They are reading books, and they are telling me about books that they are reading, and I'm like, yes, that's what you're supposed to do. Because like what you have been doing all these years, Bonnie, you send that newsletter out once per month. That newsletter is a source of education for so many of us. You know, so because...
And you know what, Debbie, I feel like, and it's so funny, because starting in March, this will begin like my 12th year of newsletters. And, you know, every month, like, I'm up to issue 160-something. And you keep thinking, can you really keep writing about this? And it's just amazing to me how there's so many new issues that come out of all these old issues.
Exactly.
You know, so many different things that come about. And I think that is part of the whole recovery road that, you know, as you're traveling along it, you know, and I have the opportunity to meet so many women, at least through email every week. Because even at this point in time, you know, I always thought, you know, as the years went on, that I'd be getting less and less letters as this became more acceptable. But I would say on an average, I get anywhere from 10 to 15 letters from new people each day. And that's, you know, 50 or 60 each week. And these are new people, not including all the ones who have already written to me, but just new people going through this who are so blindsided by it.
Right.
And wouldn't you say that's pretty much like the first emotion you could talk about when this happens, that you're totally blindsided?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because imagine you're married to your high school sweetheart or your college sweetheart, and you have this really marriage going on for 20 years, 25 years, and you have a couple kids. But you know something's not right. You were not sexually experienced before. You were, you know, you didn't have, you know, many partners before you got married. And you are in the church, so you live a certain lifestyle. So you are not accustomed to, you know, having different mates. So what you basically know, based on your upbringing, is that you are supposed to be faithful. And you have this man who appears to be faithful. He is home every night. He does not go out without you. So you think that he's not cheating. You have no idea. that he is cheating. It never even crossed your mind that he might be cheating. All you know is that sometimes he acts weird, and you believe it's your fault why he behaves the way he does, and you try to fix whatever you think is broken in the relationship.
Well, Debbie, don't you think part of that reason is because they're telling you it is your fault?
Sometimes the men tell the women it's their fault why
mm-hmm.
they are behaving the way they are behaving. And sometimes they say, if you do this, or if you were not so fat, or if you were a better cook, or if you were a better mother, I
mm-hmm.
wouldn't be this way, or whatever. And then the women internalize that because they claim the blame,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that it's not their fault. And then they hook up with somebody in an appropriate place that's a little too public, so they get caught, and then you hear everybody else talking about your husband get caught with another man somewhere, and they know you realize your husband is gay and you had no idea all this time. So yeah, a lot of women get blindsided because my culture, all professional women in my culture, Bunny, they are, you know, very proud women, and they have a right to be proud of their accomplishments. And they live in these nice gated communities, these nice homes, have everything they want, and they go to church, and they have positions in the churches, and their husbands have positions in the churches. And then they find out that their husband is sleeping with the pastor or a deacon in the church or some other man in the church.
Debbie, do you think that the church, you know, just by the fact that there is, you know, especially, like I say, a lot of times minorities, that it's just unacceptable to have homosexuality. Do you think that drives a lot of people into marriages?
It's not just the church. It's a community thing. It's a
mm-hmm.
cultural thing. Because
mm-hmm.
because
yeah, not
when
just the church.
Right,
I'm saying a combination.
Yes, because what happened is that you know that you know you are gay, and some people accept it, some people claim it, but other people are fighting it and they won't put a name to it. But they can't tell anyone, because if they tell their wife might leave them, and then when the wife leaves, the family is going to find out, then the community is going to find out, the church is
uh-huh.
going to find out, so their life is going to be upside down, and they may end up losing their job depending on who they work for. So
uh-huh.
So there's a number of factors that help to keep minority men in the closet, the ones that I know of. You know, there's a number of factors that keep them in the closet. And one of the main thing is the acceptance, the community acceptance, the family acceptance, and the church acceptance, because it's hard for their families to accept it, because our families, our immigrant families are Christian, are Christian-based families.
Uh-huh.
And even though I know what the Bible says about homosexuality, I know that the Bible is against it, and I know people should avoid practicing it. I know that you, just like how you're going to grow a tumor, you cannot prevent yourself from growing a tumor. People are gay, and they can't, you know, prevent themselves from having that sexual orientation. But the Bible says that you should not practice it, and I agree with what the Bible says, because that's what I use as my guide. But
uh-huh.
we have to, what I always say is, you should love the sinner and hate the sin. Because I believe that if I am going to embrace someone who practice other sins and asks for forgiveness, I should be able to do the same thing with someone who has same-sex orientation, especially if they want to fight it. They don't want to practice it, because some people know that they have that orientation. They know they have those feelings, but they fight it for years and years and years and years. And I'm thinking that if they don't want to practice it, they should get support. But the only thing that I don't agree with is that some churches encourage them to get married. And I don't believe that marriage is going to help anyone who is in that situation. It might be in an immediate fix, but in the long run, it's going to end up hurting not just them, but the person they got married to, and the family, and sometimes the community, and the church also.
Well, I guess it's a thin line, because if you want to go by, you know, if you're going to take one biblical stance that homosexuality is wrong according to the Bible, then you're going to have to take another stance that, you know, be fruitful and multiply. So people will be encouraged to get married. And that's why this will keep perpetuating itself, in my opinion, because people are afraid not to get married because of how they'll be viewed by the church. And I think there's a lot of pressure on people who go to church to get married, especially when you have a single man and they think, well, why isn't he married?
Well, yes, there is some pressure, not necessarily from the church point of view, but from a family point of view, because I know that like in Indian culture, the men cannot assume head of the family if they're unmarried. They cannot take over the family fortune and manage it if they are unmarried. So there is some familial pressure right there where they need to get married. So that is why, you know, so many gay Indian men end up marrying straight women, because there's the pressure for them to procreate, to produce an heir, and to be able to establish themselves as leaders in their families when their fathers get older. So I understand why some of those men would do stuff like that, but it's still wrong, especially for those who actually marry the woman but cannot have sexual relations with her, and so she cannot ever give him an heir. And in the Indian culture, you know, if you can't produce an heir, you are treated like an animal by the man's family. They hate you. They treat you real badly. You can be abused physically, verbally, emotionally, in all kind of different ways. And
Debbie, I also think that with certain cultures, there's a lot of pressure to get married when you're younger. You know, and I work with a lot of Indian men, and my heart goes out to them because they're living a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes out to their wives, too, because they're in arranged marriages they had no choice in. But the point is that, you know, I think when you're 18 or 19 or 20 years old, I really think, you know, a lot of men believe that even if they're having these attractions to men, that if they get married and they love their wives and they have a family, those feelings will pass. I mean, in all fairness, I don't think that they're out to trick the women at 18 years old or 20 years old. I think they don't even understand what's going on themselves. They know they have these attractions, but they're not allowed to talk about it. You know, homosexuality is forbidden in a lot of cultures. So they just feel like they're going to have to go with the game plan. You know, they don't want to do it either.
Yeah.
But they do hope against hope that it will change them and they won't feel these things anymore.
Yeah,
so it's an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, but nowadays, Bunny, there's so much information available on the internet, in books. When I was growing up, that information was not available. And so there are some parents in my culture and in other immigrant cultures that still believe that homosexuality is an illness that you can be cured from. So a lot of people believe that all you have to do is just find a nice girl and get married. Or some people believe that they can have all-night vigils and pray the gay away. You know, those things are still being practiced. But what it does, it makes the people who have the same sex attraction, it gives them false hope, because sometimes they themselves do not fully understand their circumstances.
Exactly.
They do not fully understand what's going on with them. So nobody is explaining it to them. Nobody is teaching them. They said, this is not something that's going to go away. You can control it with prayer, yes. Just like how you can control your urge to smoke or drink if you're an alcoholic or a drug user, but it's not going to go away. The urge is not going to go away. And
you know what, Debbie, as hard as it is here in America for Americans who are born here to come out because they're so afraid of the repercussions they're going to be with their family, with their jobs, their communities, you know, think about a culture where it's totally unacceptable, you know, where it's not even an option to be gay. And
yeah.
how do you fight that? I mean, I can see where people would acquiesce and just give in and say, all right, I have to do it. I don't have a choice. A lot of these men feel they don't have a choice; they have to do it.
Yeah, because I was saying, and I'm referring to the Indian culture and my Jamaican culture. It's still a crime, homosexuality is still a crime. If you're caught having anal sex with a man or a woman in my country or in India, you can go to jail for up to 10 years if you're found guilty in the courts. You know, so that's one of the reasons why there are so many men who are hiding their sexual orientation, because if they are caught, they are going to go to jail. And if you have a wife with a couple kids, you have built yourself a nice little cover. People don't scrutinize you as much as if you were single in your 40s, in your 50s, and single still. First of all, they're going to look at, oh, you have a nice education, you have a nice job, why are you not married? You go to church and there's so many nice women in the church, why are you not married? So they scrutinize you more when you're single. So I understand why some of those men, they get a woman and marry and get a couple kids and make themselves a nice little cover, so they insulate themselves so they do not get as much scrutiny as they would have gotten if they were single. And that is how they get to hide that fact. And some of them are very, very careful. Some of them are very careful because a lot of straight men have HIV, and a lot of those down low men do not have HIV, Bonnie. And how is that? Because they have a wife at home that they are hiding that from, so they are so careful not to take anything home to her. They are very careful in their sexual activities. Some of them are careful, and some of them are not careful. So that is why some wives never suspect anything, because they, you know, the few times when he touches her each year, he never gives her any disease or anything, so she won't suspect he's cheating because he comes home at the proper time. Because, you know, I have spoken to men, and I've gotten emails, correspondence with men who said they go home from work every day. They never leave to go anywhere. They go to the grocery store with their wife. They do everything with their wife so the wife cannot suspect, because guess what they do? They have their same-sex hookup before they go home from work. So when they get home, they stay put. They don't leave again, so the wife cannot suspect anything. Have no clue.
Deb, I'll give you one case better, because we were talking about this in our chat last week, that, you know, there's the application Grindr, Grindr, where you can be with your wife, and you can be going out to dinner to a nice restaurant.
Yes.
And they put in the application where they're going,
what time
they're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll meet you in the men's room.
Yes.
And I'll never forget, because one night, you know, when Misty had her friend tested for us, within 5 minutes he had 9 responses. All he did was say, I'm going to be at this location,
mm-hmm.
anybody nearby. 9 people in 5 minutes responded to him. So when women say their husbands, when they tell me, well, my husband could never do it, he's always with me.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell me you're going with him to the bathroom when you go to Macy's?
Right.
Because I have guys who will tell me, I've had a few tell me they had sex in the Macy's in a dressing room.
Exactly. Right there. I met someone at a local restaurant, you know, one evening, because she wanted to talk, but she wanted to be away from the house, so I, you know,
mm-hmm.
I arranged to meet her. And I was telling her about some things that she could look for, and while
mm-hmm.
we were sitting there, I was using the people in the room as an example of what she could look for without her husband knowing that she's watching. And we were there, and I could definitely tell that two men made a connection and went away and came back. And I said to her, did you see that? And she said, what? I said, weren't you paying attention? Didn't you see what I was trying to show you? And I told her what happened, and she said, oh, my God, that's what happened. I said, that's what you have to pay attention to. You need to stop watching your husband with women and watch how he interacts with men, because
uh-huh.
you're watching the wrong sex. Because her problem was she was thinking that the husband was having a relationship with his friend's wife. That's what she was thinking. Then she found out that he and the friend are going together. I said, because you were always watching the wrong sex. You thought it was the woman when it wasn't the woman. It was the man. You know, so
right, I think it's very human for women to think that, because why would we think it's a man, right?
Exactly. Keep you know, you. I said, nowadays, it was traditional. Traditionally, you would watch your husband with the other woman. But nowadays, you have to watch. You have to look out for everything. You're not going to be, like, going crazy or anything. But you keep your eye open and look at everything. Pay attention to everything. Don't take anything for granted, because that is how so many of them got away with it for so long. You know? So we have to teach our women, you know, because there are some things that you can notice, especially when your intuition is buzzing you, giving you all these buzz. Come on, pay attention. Don't ignore it. It's not buzzing you for no reason, because you can't control it. It's telling you something. Pay attention.
And that's the whole thing. I always tell women, trust your instincts.
Yeah.
You know, don't be thrown off by all kinds of things. You know, like when men tell you, you must be crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, you're disgusting, you're perverted. You know, they'll tell you everything except the truth. Because the truth, once you say it, you can't take it back. So they'd rather just keep lying and making you think that you're the problem, not them.
Right. Because there's this woman who, she kept sending me, forwarding text messages to me that she got off her husband's phone.
Uh-huh.
She forwards them to her phone, and then she forwarded to me. And I she wondered, what does this mean? Does this mean so-and-so? And I said, yes, that's what it is saying. And so he says this, and he says that. I said, listen, if you see it, and you touch it, and you feel it, and you know what it is, that it's the truth, why would you listen to someone who's telling you a lie? You know the truth for yourself. Why are you listening to a lie? You know?
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, the truth is just so incomprehensible that, you know, you don't want to believe it. And when somebody's willing to deny it, you know, at least in the beginning, you know, it's kind of like when you're going through physical abuse and a guy hits you.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, well, how could a woman stay with a man who hits her? Well, first of all, she loves him. Secondly, he gets angry because she's done something that incites him. And then when he hits her, then he comes running back and saying, oh, I'm so sorry, this will never happen again. And the majority of women, in the beginning, they're happy. You know, now they realize their husbands really love them, and even though they were bad girls, you know, because they internalize the blame because the husbands are making them feel like that. You know, their husbands love them enough to give them another chance, and it will never happen. And they go through another honeymoon period, you know, while the husband's trying to be all nicey-nicey and throw you off track till his fist goes through your face again. So I think a lot of times women, you know, love their husbands so much that when they confront them, I certainly know for myself I can, you know, attest to that. And when they say no, and you're so happy, because that's the last thing any woman wants to hear. You know, the word gay means to most women, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no nice way to put it. There's no way to cut it. Once you can accept, you know, even the word bisexual gives you some false hope. You know, they tell you, well, I'm bi. At least you think, oh, okay, well, then I have a chance. I have a 50-50 shot at this. Where in reality, you really have zero shot. But the word gay, once those words come out of his mouth, there is no chance for your marriage. And so it's a very hurtful thing. A lot of women don't want to accept it, and you can understand that.
Yeah. The other day I was talking to a young woman, and I said, what's the difference? I said, what's the difference between bisexual and gay? And she said, well, if he's bisexual, that means he'll stay with me. If he's gay, he's going to leave. I said, bisexual means he has sex with men, and being gay means he has sex with men also. So, you know, what's the difference?
Exactly.
But Bunny, my job is not to tell people what to do. I don't tell people what to do. I give them the information. I educate them. I support them. I give them affirmation. I give them validation, and I help them to confirm their feelings. I don't tell them what to do. I hope that when I do all of that, it will get them to a place of empowerment. Then they will decide what is best for them. And then when they decide what they want to do, I support them through that no matter what. But I do not tell people what to do. I help them to get to the place where they are. You know, it's like when you go to the therapist don't tell you this and they don't tell you do this. They strengthen you to make you realize what your situation is, and then you realize what you need to do to get better. So that's my job. I don't tell you, but see, I tell people straight up, I would never stay with anybody who is like that. I'm sorry, I'm not staying. I'm telling you my position. My position is for me, I would never stay. But I'm not telling you what to do. You have to know what you want. Whatever you want, I support you. But I'm not telling you what to do. My job is to educate you because people need education. They need information. And I need to affirm you so you feel okay. And I need to help you validate you so you don't feel like you're crazy because he's telling you you're crazy. And I need to help you confirm what you're finding. Oh, yeah, that's what it is, you know, so you know you are not being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I support you through whatever, so you get to this point of empowerment where you say, oh, I'm out of here. I don't need this. I'm not putting up with this anymore. And then I continue to support you to your recovery because you're supposed to do that for you. I'm not supposed to tell you what to do. But I hope that when some of the stories that I hear, I would hope they would walk. I kick somebody out, but I am not saying do that. I'm hoping that's what they do when the light goes off and the bell start ringing, ding, ding, ding. They say, okay, you're out of here. I'm out of here. But I don't tell them.
And I think that's good, you know, because that'd be your support system. You're not, you know, claiming that you're a professional counselor.
Exactly.
So, you know, as a support system, you have to be there to support people. I, on the other hand, am a professional counselor, and I do the Bonnie Cake tough love counseling. And I say that, you know, you can stay till you can get out, but you got to get out. Because if not, like I say, I do refer people to other groups where they're, you know, willing to work with people staying in marriages. I can't support these marriages because it would be like, to me, supporting women who are staying with men who are, you know, abusing them. This is just another form of abuse, you know, taking away the quality of life.
That
every woman deserves. But I could definitely say as a support group leader, you know, it's fine to take that stance, and hopefully, you know, with your support, they'll realize what they need to do because, you know, your support is definitely in the right direction. So let's talk a little bit about your radio show.
I am enjoying that so much. Thank you for giving me the idea to do it. I usually broadcast on our local radio station here. Right now, I do it once per month, the first Wednesday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
I do it. And last Wednesday, I was on. So I like to do that because that's one of the ways I get to reach a whole lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people... Certain books, if you put it in front of them, Bunny, they would not let anybody catch them reading it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read the book, and I'll go on the radio and talk about it for you to hear what's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and hide and buy one and hide and read it. Because I want people to be educated about what's going on around them. Because sometimes I might be telling you something on the radio, and it's not for you. But you know somebody who could use the information. You know, because my thing is, I call it straight spouse awareness, because it's awareness for you, the straight spouse, for your husband, the gay person, and for your children and for your family, your church community. Everybody needs to become aware of what is going on so they can help each other. When you know somebody's getting beat up. You know somebody's in a domestic violence situation. There are so many different agencies that you could call, so many different hotlines that you could call. Who do you call for straight spouse awareness? Is there a centralized hotline, Bunny?
Not that I know of.
So I'm working towards that. I don't know about you, but I'm working towards that where we can have a centralized hotline where people can have a listen and say, okay, when you have a problem like this, you call this number. You go to this area. You go to that agency. That's what I'm hoping will happen in the near future because There are so many people who need support so much more than I thought, Bonnie. I had no idea this problem was so huge. I had no idea.
And it's very huge. Are minority women willing to speak out more about this or no?
Well, see, we have to begin in our churches or in our local community, in the community organizations. See, I am doing my part at a local community level and in the church, in my church, but a lot of other women, they need to learn how to step out from behind those pastors, some of those same pastors who are perpetrating the same down-low situation in the churches. They need to learn how to step out from behind them and speak up as women, because this problem affects women more than men. This problem is hurting more women than men. And women need to band together and understand that this is your situation, that you have to claim it and you have to step up and you have to do something about it. You have one person here in South Florida. You have another person up in Philadelphia. You have another person in California. You have people just scattered all over. You know, we need a united front. You and I agree on a lot of basic issues. You and I agree on, so we can work together well. Some other people, I don't want to work with them, because when I hear them say, I'm like, I'm not telling anybody that, period. So, you know, but I understand that we will have our differences. We don't discriminate against gays, but we can't support the gay person and the straight wife at the same time. I think that's hypocritical. We can't do both, you know? And a matter of fact, you could do both, but how well would you be doing it? So the
I think it's our job to really support the women.
Exactly.
And I act as a resource for the gay men who come to me, you know, to encourage them to come out to their wives.
Exactly.
But
that's
then
what
I set them up with men who can help them, because, you know, no matter how understanding I can be, I'm not living the experience. I just encourage them to be honest and tell your wives the truth, and then be emotionally and financially supportive to your wives. Because
children.
My issue is, you know, I think that I am extremely understanding when it comes to the men, and very forgiving and very understanding, but I have my limits too.
I am too, Bunny, but I can't help you.
I'm not effective, really, you know, counseling
exactly.
them and stuff.
I would never be, but I know there are so many agencies and areas where they can get support, so I direct them. Go, you know. But
and I have a nice little support system for men also, Deb.
I saw
you know,
that with
other gay men.
Right, I saw that on the website, yes.
Yeah, so if they need support, I'm wonderful men who will support them. But, you know, where you and I do differ in our points of view, which I just want to really make clear, is Debbie is coming definitely from a church point of view, and I totally respect that, but it's not my point of view. You know, I don't believe that gay people should have to be abstinent because gay is wrong or a sickness. I believe that gay is just the way you're born, and that God loves all his children and all people, and he wouldn't make people that kind of challenged. I just feel people are born differently. And but that's okay. You know, like I say, I'm not coming from the church point of view, but there are people who are, and so at least even having Debbie there who can understand what you're feeling is a great sense of support.
Right, but Bunny, I believe in all of that stuff that you believe in too. You know, they are human beings, and I was with one of my patients the other day, and a family member came to visit, and she introduced her as her partner. And, you know, and I was having a wonderful conversation with her partner, and I was telling her that some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life were gay.
Mm-hmm.
They're so nice and so caring, and if you have a gay person as a friend, you have a friend. I mean, a real friend. You know, so I have no problem with people who are openly gay. I have no problems with that. I have a problem with those who are trying to fool people by, you know, putting them in danger by doing the secret download stuff and, you know, may end up hurting you by bringing you a sexually transmitted disease or hurting you emotionally, like how so many of them are hurting their wives of many years.
Exactly.
I have a problem with that.
Me too.
You know, even my daughter and I agree on that. And sometimes we don't agree on stuff. Because
right, your daughter doesn't agree with you on everything either, right?
Yeah, no, she's in her 20s, and I'm 51, Bonnie. Come on, we have different points of view on a lot of different stuff. You know, but, you know.
But your daughter is a great representative of you, Deb.
Yes, yes, yes. I think I trained her well.
You certainly did. Even if she doesn't think the same way, she's thinking good.
Right.
So, Deb,
you know,
talk a little bit about your experience last year in Houston. How did you feel about
it? Oh, Bonnie, when I listen to women tell me their story sometimes, I'm so happy that I'm not sitting in front of them so they don't see tears in my eyes. When I came to Houston, I'm going to be very honest with you. I was feeling a little sorry for myself. Even though I was already reaching out and doing this and helping people and put up the website and all of that stuff,
uh-huh.
I was still feeling a little sorry for myself, because at that point I had not gotten the forgiveness thing together yet. I was not ready to forgive. I was not there yet. So I was still a little angry, and I was still feeling a little sorry for myself about the situation, because I was still a little embarrassed about it, because I couldn't believe that happened to me. I read so much, and I'm so outward in my community. I'm a community person, and somebody had the nerve to try to do to put that past me. You know, it kind of bothered me a little, because say, how dare you try to put that past me? You know, you want to make a fool of me or something. So it bothered me. But when I came to Houston and I sat in that room and I listened to all those wonderful, very educated women talk about their experiences, and when I realized that the person who was married the least time was like somebody who was married 15 years, and I'm like, I never married that man. I found out early, and I did not go through with the wedding. And I listened to all those women who've been through, they'll go into the marriage and leave it and have kids and all of that. And I'm like, I felt so fortunate. I felt so blessed, Bonnie. And that opened up my eyes and say, God has been so good to me. What I have been doing before is nothing compared to what he can use me to do. So that coming to Houston was a very healing time for me, because it brought me to the place where I was able to work on the forgiveness thing a little more, and I was eventually able to get to the point where I could forgive, because if I didn't come to Houston, I probably would not have been able to forgive yet.
Uh-huh.
But coming to Houston, and it was a really healing time, and I'm telling women who are listening right now, this is an investment in yourself. When you're going through your recovery, there are times when you have to be a little selfish. And I mean selfish in the way where sometimes you have to take a time out for you, just you, like a weekend here or a weekend there. Go to a seminar, go to a conference, something that will help you to increase your awareness so you can understand what you went through, what you're going through, how you're feeling, because if you do not understand those things, you will never get to the point where you can say, oh, I'm at least 90% healed from this. So the healing weekend in Houston was an investment in our healing as straight women, straight spouses, because it cost us a little money to get for the plane ride, or for those who had to drive there and to get the hotel. It cost a little money, but it was an investment in our healing, in our recovery. And I encourage women to do that, because you need stuff like that. And you're meeting with other people who they will listen to you, and no matter what you talk about, nobody will look down on you or call you stupid or foolish, because everybody in that room understands. And that's what women need, and so many women are not getting that, Bonnie. So many women are not getting that.
It's very validating having others who, you know.
Exactly.
I think so many times people judge us, and, you know, I just want to really make it clear, like, because I have this conversation with one of our support members today who will be in Houston. you know, sometimes she feels a little bad because she's not moving at a faster pace. And I say, you know what, it's not a race.
Uh-uh.
It's not how fast you get to the finish line. It's just that you get there. You know, it's, I don't care if it takes somebody 5 years to get there. What, you know, if somebody's not happy and they want to get out of an unhappy situation, that's what I'm there for. I'm not there for people who say, I'm going to be the exception to the rule. I'm going to make it work. I don't really have time for that, so I send them to the Straight Spouse Network where they can find other people who feel the same way for a while. And, you know, I never say I told you so because that's not who I am. You know, whatever you think you can make work, if it works for you, great. And when it stops working, you can always come back to me, and a lot of women do. But I never make people feel pressured or that, you know, they have to get there. And I never want women to get that impression that, you know, I'm falling behind in this. There's no falling behind as long as you're moving ahead.
Exactly. And
right?
every day is a new day. And according to the statistics, you need 1 year of healing for every 5 years you were married to the gay person. Some people will need less time than a year, and other people will need more than a year because everybody mentally is built differently. Like, I always say I am built tough to last. That's what I always say. And I bounce back from stuff real easily because of my mentality, the way I look at things, because I do not take things on by myself, Bunny. I give it to God, and I let God do what he needs to do with it. So it makes it easier for me. And that is one of the reasons why on the radio show, I talk about God and I talk about, you know, other spiritual things, because I have used that for my benefit. And I think that if it worked for me, it might work for somebody else who believes like I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to understand that this is about you. It's not about anybody else. You take the time you need to get to where you need to go, as no matter how long it takes you to do that. Don't let anybody dictate to you, oh, get over it already. It's about time already. How many years now? No. Anybody who is talking to you like that is not a friend. A friend will understand you need your time. And this didn't just happen yesterday. It took years, and you were in it, and you were suffering from it, even though at the time you may not have known what it was. But now that you have a name for it, it makes it even harder for you to go on, because you say, all these years, this is what I was going through. You need time, and you should take your time and not let anyone speed you up, because this is not a race, like Bunny just said. It's not a race. And believe me, it's about you, not about your friend or your family. It's about you.
But I do think that, you know, to add to that, Deb, these marriages and relationships are different in as much as there's a lot of different variations that we have to deal with that straight women who are married to straight men don't have to deal with.
Exactly.
We have all those issues plus a whole bunch more, as I like to say. You know, that we have, you know, these marriages in many cases were very poor marriages in the sense that, you know, the husband felt he was somewhere trapped where he didn't really want to be. And he's trying his best to try to pretend like he's really being a husband. But, you know, it's like pulling off a new act every day. And a lot of them, as a result, you know, really took out their frustrations on their wives and on their children because they weren't happy where they were, and rather than being honest about it. So, I mean, we have so many more issues to deal with as far as trust issues, rebuilding our self-esteem, which has been sorely knocked down, having a support system like other people have, you know, other divorce, you know, groups and everything else. You don't want to have to sit and talk about this when people don't understand it. So that's why finding this kind of support is so valuable.
Very.
Where you don't have to say a word. Everybody knows how you feel because we're all in the same boat.
Right.
We may look different. We may come from different parts of the country or even the world, but our issues are totally the same, no matter
right.
how varied they are.
Right. You know, Bunny, I am doing what I'm doing, and people will say to me, oh, you are so strong. Oh, my goodness. But I still need my support because my job is what I'm getting, I'm supposed to send it out to people who are not where I am. Some people are not as strong as I am. So my job is to strengthen you so that you can get to the point where you can stand on your own and eventually do what I'm doing. So I still need my support. And I'm thankful that you continue to do what you do, Bonnie, because you help to provide me with support. And, you know, because what would I be able to do without support from somebody else? I need my support. And no, anybody who said they don't continue to need support at some level is not telling the truth, because no matter how strong you are, no matter how far you have come, there will be moments when you will have a flashback, because it's like, Bunny, I tell people it's like PTSD. You will get a flashback and you get a memory that will just make you so angry, you know, because you say, you know, why would he think that he could pull that on me, you know? You will have those moments. But the stronger you are and the more your healing progress, the less of those moments you will have. And when you get angry, you will get out of the anger zone quicker than you normally would. But people have to understand that even though we are helping, we still have our moments, because it's never going to go away. We are in recovery.
Well, I always say it's like a scab. You know, it's sitting there. You can pick at it, and maybe the scab will go away, but the scar is going to be there. And unfortunately, as I tell our women, many of us are broken women, either going into the marriages or coming out of them. So it doesn't take much scratching to open up that wound again. And if you don't build yourself up and put yourself in a new place, you're going to walk into the same situation all over again with a different kind of man. But he'll be a predator looking for vulnerable women like you. And I do want to mention we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful clinical social worker on our show on March 10th, after the weekend I come back from Houston. Her name's Mary Ann Glynn, and she's in New Jersey, and she works with post-traumatic stress victims, and she's going to have some really good methods of how to, you know, try to focus to get past this stuff, because this is like, you know, any other kind of post-traumatic stress. When you go through this, a lot of our women are suffering from that.
Exactly.
I'm really glad she'll be joining us. And next week, by the way, Grace, our friend from Houston, from Dallas, will be with us.
All right.
And remember Grace. And
yes.
Grace is a wonderful support system for my women who have straight gay husbands. Those are the ones who will never admit it. They'll just go and get married again like her ex-husband did and have another family.
Yes.
Just keep leaving families behind as they keep rotating around. So she'll be our guest next week, and then after that, or a week before Houston, Dr. Brian Hooper will be back. And a lot of people really find his words very comforting.
Very.
Because he tells it as it is. You know, he doesn't beat around the bush.
Exactly, yeah.
He doesn't make excuses, right?
No, and I like the fact that he doesn't. You know, he doesn't. He understands. And you think he wouldn't, but he does.
Oh, no, he's totally, you know, like I say, he just doesn't understand how these guys keep doing this stuff. And he's been a really important part of my outreach to gay men also. You know, I did a really great radio show with him, just men, you know, geared for the men. If anybody would like to listen to it, write to me and I'll send you a link. But, you know, the importance of coming out and being true to yourself. And I know it's a very hard decision for a lot of men, but at least he's there for them. So, Deb, how do people get to listen to your radio show? Tell us.
Oh, okay. First of all, Bunny, I want you to let them know that I broadcast on your channel on Thursday night at 8 p.m.
On Block Talk Radio on the Straight Wives Talk channel.
Right. Each Thursday night at 8 p.m. And then on Saturdays at noon, I broadcast on the South Florida Connects channel, and that's on Straight Spouse Awareness. That's blocktalkradio.com/StraightSpouseAwareness, and you will get us on Saturdays at noon. And we have a whole stuff programs in the archives. And what my radio show on Saturdays is usually usually the intention is to make it be like a learning series where people come and they can learn about different stuff, what's going on with them that they haven't even thought about. Then they learn what it means and what it can do and how they can change it or how they can make it better. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I want it to be like a learning series because I used to be a high school teacher, so I'm still thinking in the education mode. I'm thinking if I educate you, you will be better off. Because I'm thinking that I can fish for you and feed you for life, but I can also teach you how to fish so you can go fish for yourself for life. So my thing is teach you how to fish. So that program is basically teaching you, informing you, educating you, and empowering you and encouraging you at the same time so that you can become better off than you were before and that you can see how. Because some people don't see how they can get to where you and I are, Bonnie. They don't see it. They don't understand how we are the way we are. They cannot imagine themselves moving forward. So I want them to know that it is possible. But everything takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything takes
time. It's not an overnight change.
That is what
you
need.
You know, that's the one thing also I wanted to mention that, you know, it really totally upsets me when men say to their wives, well, you know, how long is it going to take you to get over this? Okay, how long do I have? Well, you know, it's been like 3 weeks. Why can't you get past it already? You know, they have no understanding of how this news hits you and what it does to you as far as turning you inside out. And I'm not going to give any names, but tonight in our support chat, we had a new woman who I've been in touch with. And my heart just goes out so much for her, married 36 years. And just found out and got confirmation, you know, in the last few weeks, or, you know, last few months. But, she's, you know, in her 70s now, and her whole life has been built around this man and living a lie with him. And I think to myself, this is criminal as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's one thing when you don't know. It's another thing when you do know and you're acting on it. And, you know, it's like I say, so many tragic situations that my heart goes out to.
Yeah.
So many sad stories, and they just keep coming in. But that's why it's always wonderful to have some extra support like Debbie. Deb, is there an email address I can write to you at?
Yes. Anyone who wants to reach out to me can send an email to sfconnects@gmail.com. That's S as in Sam, F as in Frank, connects with an S, @gmail.com. Or they can call our support hotline at 954-983-9751, 954-983-9751, and leave a message. And if you leave contact information, I will be able to reach out back to you. And that's what we do. And Bonnie, for the men who are telling their wives to get over it already, 3 weeks already or whatever, they had all their lives to deal
with
this.
Exactly.
They had all their
lives.
They
had their
whole
lives to struggle with this. Exactly.
Yes. Your wife needs time. She needs time to figure out if she wants to stay with you or she wants to leave you. You have to give her time to figure it out.
They have their whole life to figure it out, they have their whole marriage to figure it out.
Right. Don't let anybody rush you into making a hasty decision about anything. And like I said before, if you just found out, don't tip your hand. Don't let him know that you know. Because right away you might feel like you want to leave or you might feel like you want to give the relationship a chance. You're not sure what you're going to do. So don't tip your hand. Just start collecting information. And I mean financial information just in case you decide to divorce. Because what you find out now is just the tip of the iceberg. Later on, when you find out all the other gory stuff, you might feel like, oh, no, I don't want to be with this man anymore. So you have to be prepared just in case. So when you find out, start collecting information and get your stuff together just in case you're going to leave. You have your ammunition and you have your information. Right, Bonnie?
Right, and if you want to, you know, like I say, I know that Debbie was really impressed by Maggie's divorce kit that she put together for us.
Yes.
So if anybody else would like a copy of that divorce kit, just write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send it to you. because it's really a wonderful roadmap as far as what you need to put together before you move ahead. Even if you just put your information in for your records, it has everything you'll ever need on there. And you don't want to, you want to put yourself in the best possible position. If a marriage is going to end, you don't want to come out the loser. You want to come out as much of a winner as possible. And that means you have to have everything together, as hard as it may be. You know, protect yourself. I mean, that's our message to you, right, Deb?
Right, protect yourself. And for those people who go to our website at South Florida Connects, you can go to the Straight Spot Survival Strategy page, and you will be able to download the divorce packet.
Yeah,
so
Debbie also has it on her website,
right,
too.
You can download it from there, too, as well as you can email Bonnie and get the information. And Bonnie, the other day I was talking to a young lady. She's about 28 years old, and she was telling me that her husband does not have sex with her anymore, and he is 28 years old also. So I said, does he have a girlfriend? And she said, no, he doesn't have a girlfriend. I said, so he's not having sexual relationship with you at all? She said, no. So I said to her, what about in the mornings when he wakes up with an erection? She said, he never touches me in the morning. I said, well, if he's not touching you at night, at his age, if he doesn't have any medical problems, in the mornings he's going to wake up with an erection. What does he do with that? She said, I don't know, because he doesn't touch me. So I was having a conversation with my daughter, and my daughter and I were talking about stuff like that, and I said to her, if your husband comes home tired at night, because he will come home so tired that he can't even function, he will take a shower and he will go to bed and he will rest. But in the morning, he's going to have an erection, especially when he's in his 20s. He's going to wake up with one most likely almost every morning. And if he does not want to do anything with that with you, you have a problem. And not because he's having another woman, because he might be gay, because you are in the bed and he has an erection. You are a woman. If he's straight, he's going to do something about that erection. Like in my country, I used to hear the guy say, dirty water, cool, hot iron. That if you have a hot iron, it doesn't matter how dirty the water is, or you pour it on it, it will cool that iron. So, you know, basically, if you are a woman, no matter how mad he is at you, no matter how rotten the relationship is, he wakes up in the morning with an erection and you are there and he's straight, he's going to want to do something about it. So that's another way that women can find out, you know, he ain't touching me, he wakes up with an erection, what is he doing with the erection? He won't even give it to you. What's going on?
He may not even be waking up with it because you're laying next to him.
No,
the point is that if there's nothing going on, then you don't belong in a marriage in your 20s. I mean, that's not a marriage. That's a friendship with a brother. I mean, that's not what marriage is supposed to be about.
It's not even a friendship with benefits, like these young people like to say.
Right, and there's no way to conduct a marriage. And one thing that Dr. Hooper says before we go, but, you know, like what I love him when he says it, is this what you signed up for? If it's not what you signed up for, stop looking to make something work that's not workable. You know, as I say, life was never supposed to be this complicated, period. I mean, this is not what life is about. It's not about these kind of struggles. So if your life is preoccupied with these, you know, sexual struggles, it's time to go. You know, it's just, you know, you married the wrong person or he's into all these other kinds of things, because I certainly have women coming to me with all kinds of sexual issues, not just gay, whether it's transvestites, whether it's transies, whether it's, you know, all kinds of things I won't even get into. You know, life wasn't meant to be that complicated. You need to leave.
Exactly.
So Deb, I'm so excited. I'm going to be getting my big hugs from you in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes.
I know. That's exciting to me. And to any other women who might be interested in joining us on our journey to Houston, don't forget to write to me at bondk@aol.com. Debbie, I want to thank you so much for being my guest. You are always so exciting when you're on the radio and so interesting to listen to.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you for having me. And for those people who are listening who suspect that they may be in a straight gay relationship and have not had an HIV test yet, make that a priority. You can text your zip code to 566-948. That's 566-948. Just text your zip code, and you will get a reply with a name of a place where you can go and have a free HIV test. Or you could go to HIVtest.org and find a location near your home.
And everything is confidential, right, Deb?
Everything is confidential. Nobody has to know what you're doing because most of those places are like clinics where they do other medical stuff. So nobody will know you're going for an HIV test.
Uh-huh.
Please, please, if you suspect, get tested.
Even if you don't suspect, you know, if there's any.
Well, everybody. Everyone should have had an HIV test by now.
Yeah, if you're married every now and then, yeah.
Everybody who's having sexual relationships should
because
have an HIV test.
Because a lot of us don't suspect, right.
Yeah, everybody who should have an HIV test. You know, knowing your status puts you in a position of power, you know. And if you, God forbid, you go and you get tested and you're positive, the sooner you know, the better off you'll be because they have so many medications now that can make you live
mm-hmm.
and look healthy for a long time.
Yeah, it's not a death sentence anymore if you treat it early.
Exactly.
But, you know, the thing is that a lot of our women have found out by random blood tests they had to have it for their jobs or for something else,
mm-hmm.
and they had no suspicions.
Right.
And this is how they found out, through a blood test that, you know, that they had to get for some other purpose. So it's really important, you know, like I say, just get blood tested once a year in general.
Right, because when you get married, even if you marry somebody and you were not having sexual relationships before you got married, you are going to have sexual relationship with somebody who, and everybody else who that person had sex with before you. That's what basically you're going to be doing. So please, 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 protect yourselves.
Yeah, well, Debbie, thank you so much. And to all our listeners, we'll be back here next week bringing you more issues. If you have anything you would like to discuss, just write to me. And if you want to get in touch with Debbie, you can go to her website at
South Florida Connect,
right?
SouthFloridaConnects.com.
Or is it SF Connects?
SouthFloridaConnects.com for the website.
South,
and
the
SF
whole word
Connect
spelled out, South Florida.
Mm-hmm. South Florida Connects with an S.
Okay,
com.
And then get to your website that way, SouthFloridaConnects.com. Or you can go on my website for gay husbands, and Debbie's listed as one of the resources there. So for all of our listeners, we'll be back with you next week. Have a good week. If you need support, write to me. Join our support chat. Join my newsletters. If you have children who you feel could really benefit from getting this support from other kids, Debbie, don't you think it's a wonderful thing that we have that going now?
Yes, and I keep talking about it on my show so people can know that they could get to you so that the kids can get some support.
Yeah, I am so excited. I just can't even begin to tell you when I was listening to these stories the other night and all these issues, and I was so happy I was there with them to be able to, you know, bring to light the ones that everybody has in common. But now they're
mm-hmm.
starting their own Facebook page.
Wow.
Yahoo group.
Okay.
And then we'll get a website going in the next month. So I'm really happy about this. Really dynamic young people in this group.
Yeah, they need support too.
They need support, and they're willing to give it, and they want to get it. So if you're in that situation, don't feel funny or shy, anywhere from 18 or not, you know, feel free to write to me. So, Deb, thanks so much again, and I'll be with you all next week. And Deb, I'll see you in Florida. I'm Florida, in Houston
in
a couple
Houston.
Weeks, okay?
Thank you for having me, Bonnie, and yes, see you in Houston.
Thank you, Deb.
Be
all
blessed.
Right, love you. All right, bye-bye.